Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, and gunfight survivors help answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, just the facts. And now, here's your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows once we post them at ballisticradio.com and get the latest behind-the-scenes info, arguments, silliness, not silliness, memes at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Co-hosting with me, Jack the, I don't know yet. I don't have a cool nickname, but I will soon, Clemens.
You keep saying that there's going to be a cool nickname and there's never a cool nickname. I'm a little sad.
You've only been on one show before this. So, I mean, I want to make sure that I don't return you to the pet store where I found you. You know, because if I do, it's yeah, then I've wasted a nickname. I've only got so much creative in me, and I just want to make sure that this works out first. So anyway, before we get started, a quick reminder, this segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s, ARs, and scatterguns since 1977. Legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories at www.wilsoncombat.com. And also, Aridus Industries and the patent-pending QDC Quick Detach Side Saddle Shell Carrier. It's available for pre-order now. Check out the new rigid interchangeable side saddle carrier, changing how you look at shotguns forever. Find out why Steve Fisher, Chris Fry, and myself all call it the best hard mount side saddle carrier ever invented. Would you like to know more? Visit AridusIndustries.com. So we're going to have Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics on the show tonight talking about mass casualty medicine from a concealed carry perspective. I'm going to take a second to comment or editorialize, which is not something I usually do, but I think that it, you know, I think what happened in Paris, which is what is the impetus behind this show tonight, bears talking about just briefly. Now, we've been at war literally my entire adult life. I turned 18 in 2001, and September of 2001, 9/11. You know, we've had a pretty good idea of who we're fighting since then, since before then, really. But, you know, so we know who the enemy is, and we've allowed them to exist. Now, I've got two kids. I have a 6-year-old and a 1-year-old. They've never lived during a peacetime at all. At all. You know, our culture lately has been punishing people that, you know, don't follow the narrative or speak out against things that are going on. You know, and all the while encouraging the people that would want us to apologize to the folks that are out there killing innocent people. Now, you could talk about geopolitical politics and, you know, where should we be? Where shouldn't we be? A bunch of, you know, French teenager, early 20s at a metal concert in Paris. They didn't care about any of that. They were trying to have fun. And they were executed, you know, on someone's date night or anniversary night or, hey, I'm going to try and go meet a girl night, whatever. You know, and that's, I'm not really cool with that. And the sad part to me is that not too long ago, we as a society had a culture where an entire generation mobilized to go stamp out evil once it made itself apparent. And I guess what's really bothering me the most is thinking about that greatest generation, you know, the people that stormed the beaches at Normandy or island hopped in the Pacific. Thinking that that greatest generation is probably our last great generation. And that's not to take anything away from the people that go out and fight now. But when you look at the complete picture of our society, what's happening more and more is we've got people huddling around fires, you know, scared of the monsters in the dark, while fewer and fewer and fewer people go out into the night trying to slay serpents. Now, I know that's real sheepdoggy and, like, creepers and stuff that I usually make fun of, but I just want you to stop and take a second and think about how you view yourself. You know, and if you view yourself as a sheepdog, whatever. If you view yourself as someone that's trying to get home to their family, whatever. I'm not going to, you know, comment one way or another about how you view yourself. I'm not you. But I will say this. If you take this seriously at all, then you need to carry your gun, if you can legally do so, all the time. You need to get in better shape so that you can actually fight if you need to. You need to go out and learn emergency medicine so that you can actually be useful in a situation like this, which is what we're going to talk about. Now, I usually don't spend the first, you know, 10 minutes of a show doing this, but I think that in our industry especially, we focus on gear, we focus on cool guy classes, and I'm going to go learn to shoot better. The shooting problems in these situations, are they hard shooting problems? They're not easy ones, but, you know, I probably could have figured them out after my second or third shooting class. You know, how much medicine have I taken? Not as much. It's not as much fun. You know, how much gear do I carry that's actually going to deal with an injury like that? You know, not as much as I should. You know, if you're really concerned about being prepared and you can't slow jog a mile, you know, there's things to think about. And if you're going to study this seriously, and I'm going to assume that if you're listening to the show, you're studying this a little bit, or you're about to change the channel because I sound, you know, like any other crazy right-wing talk show host, which is funny because I'm actually not very right-wing. But, you know, it's time to stop changing your Facebook profile picture to be, you know, whatever. It's time to stop posting memes and just get serious. Get serious about your physical condition. Get serious about your skills beyond just shooting the gun. You know, if you are going to practice shooting, maybe go past 7 yards and start working accuracy at speed, at distance. You know, just actually think about worst case scenarios and maybe sort of prepare for that. And I apologize to Caleb, who's been waiting on hold, and he's probably about to hang up because he's bored. But anyway, we got to go to break. We'll actually talk to Caleb when we get back. Right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, this segment brought to you by Darkstar Gear. Whether you know the color of the boathouse at Hereford or only know the color of your mom's basement and your Cheeto-stained socks, Darkstar Gear has a solution to your gear-carrying needs. Check out their clip-on holsters for small semi-autos and revolvers, or their highly adjustable full-size AIWB holster. They even have a belt-wrapped sheath for popular fixed-blade centerline knives for when you really, really, really need to tie your EDC together. Like that one rug I used to have. Designed, developed, and pressure-tested for real life, not Instagram. Find out more at darkstargear.com. And also, Aridus Industries and the patent-pending QDC Quick Detach Side Saddle Shell Carrier. Available now for pre-order. Would you like to know more? Visit aridusindustries.com. Hey, Jack.
Yes.
Do you want to be embarrassed on the radio?
Again?
Michael J. Sox.
Aww.
I was hoping that'd get more of a laugh out of you.
I'm trying not to laugh.
The look on his face, it was just... Sorry, I had to lighten it up just a little bit after that. I felt like very...
You were like very serious.
Yeah,
like...
I don't like serious me as
super
me.
Serial.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, joining us now... Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics. Caleb, how are you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Oh, not too much. I'm doing some radio thing. Nah, that's what I do on Sundays. How have you been, brother? I haven't had you on in a little while.
Oh, doing well, my man. It has been a while, it seems like. But no, man, we're busy. I've been teaching a class today and a little bit yesterday, so Staying busy.
Awesome. So what we're going to talk about tonight, and I sort of led into this, but, you know, so we've got the recent thing in Paris. There's been all sorts of mass casualty events in the last couple of years where people have been improvising, you know, medical care or not improvising, depending on which situation you talk about. But one of the things that we talk about a lot with the gun culture is, you know, the first people on scene with a gun are going to be who stops the bad guy. Well, the first people on scene with some sort of medical training and medical equipment are going to be who saves lives, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, everybody, you know, just like you said earlier in past conversations, you know, I've talked about, everybody's quick to, you know, okay, we carry a gun because we know that, we carry a firearm because we know that the police can't get there quick enough. Now, that's not a knock against law enforcement. They've got a tough job, it is. We know that.
Right.
But at the same time, well, they still have to respond. Somebody has to notify them that there's something going on. But yeah, we're seeing that looking at active killers, the first people that, as soon as that, you know, majority of them, if they're not confronted, but if they're have any opposition whatsoever, it slows them down, let alone if somebody else is armed. Whether it's law enforcement or some CHL holder, they stop or there's a pause, and you know that gives everybody else a little bit more time, let alone it stops the threat.
Right. So, why do you think not as many people think of that in the medical context? You know, that okay, I've stopped the threat with my handgun or vehicle-based long gun or whatever. You know, and then for some people, for whatever reason, it seems like it just sort of stops at, okay, I've shot him, everything's good now.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's kind of what I tell students. It's like, well, okay, well, you've just been involved in a gunfight, keyword being a fight. Okay, well, show me anywhere where during a fight people are not, there's somebody hurt or injured, usually, if it's, you know, depending. But usually if there's been a fight, well, then somebody's hurt to some extent. Well, what do we do about that? Whether it's the good guys, the bad guys, bystanders, it's trying to think how to word it. But why people don't, I don't have an answer for that, why people don't think about the aftermath of not just, okay, I call 911, hey, I was involved in shooting, or whatever, you know, whatever you want to say on 911, but to say, hey, I need help, there's bad guys that try to get me. But the fight isn't over. You still have to survive and then prevail.
Right.
And with that fight, with those injuries, that's where you've got to have some kind of medical training. Even when law enforcement shows up, well, you may have injuries. Your family may be, your friends and family may be injured. They're EMS, you know, people forget that, oh, yeah, well, EMS is on their way. Yeah, but they're going to stage 2-3 blocks down the road until those law enforcement officers deem that, hey, this is safe, everything's under control, and now they can come in here and start, you know, helping people with medical injuries.
So a really good example of that was there was a shooting out in the California airport, I want to say, where there was a TSA agent that bled to death in sight of medical responders because the scene wasn't secured yet. I don't think I'm making that up.
No, you're talking about LAX shooting.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago. I was interviewed and asked about that one too. Yeah, that was the TSA agent bled out and died. Now, whether or not they would have bled out and died with somebody having medical training and medical equipment right then and there, I don't know the extent of where they were shot or the details of their injuries, but at least it would have, we won't know either way.
Right.
But yeah, it's sad. It's, you know, even though yes, there's an active killer. Well, we still have to think about, well, yes, we stopped the threat. There's still people that are hurt, but EMS and fire department, they're still at the stage and wait till it's safe for them to come in. That may take 20 minutes. It may take 2 minutes. It may take 3 or 4 hours.
Right.
We don't know. But they, you know, the LAX shooting, there was that TSA agent that did lose his life and bled out, I think, within 50 yards of an ambulance and a fire truck.
Yep.
Just because of that. Now, that could have been any of us. Now, imagine if somebody would have had some type of medical training or somebody would have, you know, had some type of medical equipment. You know, maybe a different outcome.
So when people start talking about medical equipment, I think that one of the things that people get hung up on is, well, that's a lot to carry. I'm already carrying so much. You know, we're not talking like you've got a medical bag with you. You don't need a bunch of stuff on you to be relatively well prepared for at least the few minutes following something like that, do you?
No, it doesn't take a lot. You know, I always tell folks to think of your, you know, as your medical EDC equipment, let alone stuff like your tourniquet. Think of that just like your defensive firearm. Now, if you say, hey, I need to be armed to protect myself and my family, then okay, well, sure. Then we don't live in a day and age. Now, I don't know, it's you know, granted, making note, and I'm not making light of the thing, the attacks in Paris, but we're no country, even Paris is not at a point where the civilians, and even here in America, we're having to walk around wearing long guns to go to the store, to wait in line to get food, or to go about a daily basis, or business, excuse me. But well, think of your medical equipment just that. Well, I don't have to carry, you know, a belt-fed, you know, weapon just to protect myself. I can use a, you know, a snubby. I can use, you know, subcompact or a compact or a full-size pistol, and that'll still get the job done. Okay, well, is it bulky? Is it heavy? Is it you have to rearrange the way you dress sometimes maybe, or you have to think about certain things, so your lifestyle change? Sure, but if that's too big of a, you know, problem for you, well, then you get your priorities mixed up, you know. So your medical equipment is the same thing. Well, this med kit or this tourniquet, it's small, compact, and inexpensive and fits in my back pocket. So it fits in my back pocket and it's cheap.
Right.
Okay, well, what kind of defensive firearm do you carry? Oh, well, Glock 17 and Appendix. Oh, okay, cool. Or 19, whatever. I don't know. It's kind of overkill there. But if you get away with a rocket. But at the same time, if you're carrying, you know, if you think, okay, I'm going to base my medical equipment off of, well, it's cheap and small and fits in my back pocket, well, do you do that with your defensive firearm? Well, no. Okay, well, not dismissing, now what I'm about to say may tick people off, but not dismissing the need for self-defense and to carry. I'm very pro-gun here, obviously, and pro-Second Amendment. And yes, I agree with everything you said earlier in the opening of the show. But how many people are involved in a gunfight? Now, I'm talking like John Q. Citizen, okay, for example. How many gunfights were John Q. Citizen or your listeners? Ask yourself this, folks. When was the last time you were in a gunfight? Okay. When was the last time you saw a car wreck?
Yep.
When was the last time you saw someone having a heart attack or choking or having a seizure? It's probably a lot more likely. So then why are you asking? So why is it that you're so adamant and you're like, oh, I don't want to spend $30 on a tourniquet, something I'm going to use in the next 12 months, if not sooner, or some medical training, spending, you know, 8 hours in a class, learning something I'm going to use in the next week. But again, don't get me wrong. I'm not dismissing, hey, that doesn't mean you should be carrying, you should be training for, you know, for defensive techniques by any means. But it's just part of it. Your defensive techniques should include medical training, medical equipment. So should your EDC.
Well, and I think that the major breakdown occurs somewhere along the lines of why people are doing what they're doing. And whether or not they actually think that, you know, a situation is likely, or if it's just something they do because they think it's a cool thing to do and they're into it and it's a hobby. You know, a really good example of that, I was talking with William April about this or have in the past, you know, and people have these ideas of what their fight's going to look like. And that's what they train for, because that's what their idea of what the fight is going to look like. And they might get lucky, and that might be what the fight looks like. You know, but very few people, their ideal fight is, oh, I got blindsided because my situational awareness failed, and I got attacked, and, you know, now I'm in an entangled gunfight, and I can't quite access my gun, and I've not trained any hand-to-hand because that's not cool. And it's like you said, you know, I saw a pretty bad car accident today. You know, Jack, you saw a car on fire today driving to the studio. I don't know. We got about a minute and a half left in this segment. What do you think the number one thing that people should carry on them medical wise that not enough people do?
First off, it's going to sound cliche, but the knowledge. You need to have the right mindset. That's just like defensive firearms or techniques or combatives.
Good answer.
Start with your mindset. And that's just, I'm not trying to, you know, be all philosophical there. No, that's my legitimate answer.
No, that's a great answer.
Any tool for it. And if you don't have the right mindset, well, then what's the point? You could carry an eight bag with a kitchen sink and an OR and a, you know, a trauma surgeon in your bag. But if you don't know how to use any of it, then what good does it make? Same thing with defensive pistol. Well, if you don't know how to do a draw stroke, yeah, you're not going to live. But no, the answer to everyone wants to know what kind of gear. Something to control bleeding and something to plug the holes in your in lungs if you take a round to the chest. So hemorrhage control, bleeding out, you got to control the blood, and you've got to make sure you're not breathing out of new holes in your body.
When I actually even, I would point out that even the way I ask that question really indicates some of the issues with the industry. And even as someone that's thinking about it, you know, I still want to sort of delve over into the gear side. And like you said, the training and mindset is what matters. We got to go to break. Right now we're talking with Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics. Right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio. This segment brought to you by TopGunSupply.com. TopGunSupply.com is your web source for fine firearms, parts, and accessories. True product specialists committed to delivering the highest level of customer support to you. They carry top name brands including Ed Brown, Wilson Combat, Les Barrage, Six Hour, and many more, as well as premium AR pattern rifles. Whether you are looking to protect yourself or a first-time gun buyer or competitive shooter, TopGunSupply.com can satisfy your firearms needs. TopGunSupply.com, your premier source for SIG parts and accessories. And also, Aridus Industries and the patent-pending QDC Quick Detach Side Saddle Shell Carrier. Available now for pre-order. Would you like to know more? Visit AridusIndustries.com. And actually, the pre-order pricing on that is ending on the 20th of this month, I want to say. So if you're interested in getting a cheaper deal on that, better deal on that, something
more affordable, mm-hmm. That doesn't sound right either.
Yeah, anyway, do better deal. Thank you, I appreciate that.
You buy now,
right? We need to do a video about that, but I'm
buying now or the Aridus side saddle QDC mount.
Well, I've done videos about it, but we need to do another one to really explain to people why it's awesome. So anyway, Caleb Causey, are you still there?
I'm still here, amigo.
Perfect. I thought you might, like I said, get bored or I'm talking too much, hang up, something like that. So you brought to mind, you know, the really cliche, the gun isn't the weapon, you're the weapon, the gun's just a tool. I hate that saying because it's, like I said, sort of trite, but there's some truth to it because, as you pointed out, the most important bit of gear that you can have is just a good solid knowledge base as far as with medicine goes, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of funny when I started a medical career and then I got out from the military and from the fire department, I started, you know, I was called amateur at best or hobbyist three gunner and started shooting and taking defensive classes and combat classes. I started seeing a trend at the same time that I was building Lone Star Medics and becoming a student and a teacher was that, okay, taking, you know, people like Claude Warner's classes or William April or Tom Givens or Craig Douglas or Paul Tripp, all those people, right, and Greg Ellis, all these guys, what's the first thing that they're all talking about? Well, it's mindset. And I thought, okay, well, that still applies to tactical medicine, even in EDC or just field medicine, as you know, car wrecks or, hey, there's been a gunfight and I'm hurt. How do I deal with that? So it's very applicable. And yeah, like I said, it's cliche. You know, and to answer your question earlier, people want the quick fix. When it comes to gear, people want the quick fix. They think, I don't want to really have to put forth the effort, so I can just buy this tool or this toy, and then I feel better, my security blanket.
Right.
You know? I was talking with a buddy the other day, and I said, it just kind of came out, and I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but I said, people want the status of knowledge, but they really don't want the responsibility. And I don't know if that's, if that makes any sense at all.
No, it does.
That's that was a little maybe too much, spirit water, special water there on a long evening, but with some friends. But that's kind of the way I look at it, you know, and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, after this hacks and Paris and all around the world and car wrecks every day that we hear in the news. And I'm thinking, yeah, but there's still, you know, not trying to, woe is me here, though, as an instructor, But sure, there's times where we don't have classes that make. And I sit there and wonder, and everybody, the host, wonders, like, hey, how come nobody's jumping on this medical training stuff? And I don't have an answer except, yeah, I just don't think, you know, people would rather buy an IFAC, or they'd rather, just like firearms, they'd rather buy the firearm and spend money on a firearm or in a holster and their gear and not know what to get, but now they feel secure about it. They feel safer about it.
Well, and
they feel like they've done something. It's a quick fix.
Yeah, and you say
I don't know, that's what I think.
Well, and you say spend money on the holster, and it's like, no, they just spend money on the gun usually, and the holster is like,
okay, you're right.
An afterthought, and the ammunition's an afterthought, and the training is definitely an afterthought. And then you get into the medical side of things, and the medical training especially becomes an afterthought because it's not cool guy. You know, if anything, medical training acknowledges that you might fail. And that is not, and that's not something that people like. You know, because if you've got to use medical training, no one's thinking about plugging up the guy that they just shot. You know, that's not what people are thinking of when they think medical training. Whether or not it'd be something you do, I mean, you know, whatever. But
yeah, that's a whole other discussion. Right.
But medical training for most people means that you got hurt or someone you care about got hurt, and they don't like to acknowledge that because it doesn't fit the image. You know, it doesn't.
Nobody wants to feel that way. You know, and then I kind of look at it like my rebuttal, kind of the best rebuttal I can come up with right now, but on the show is, well, okay, well then, have you not technically already failed if it went to guns and knives and fists?
Yeah.
You know, why are you, let me forgive it this, don't do stupid things to stupid people in stupid places. So you already failed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's not the knives and guns, and I mean, even everybody thinks I'm going to win the fight, well, I, you know, not to do a shameless plug here for ECPC again. I know, you know you're fans of Craig's work, but, you know, taking Paul Sharp's class, I mean, I was sitting there and like, wow, I'm definitely, like you said earlier in the show, have the tools, have the training, and then let on physical, you know, you do some PT. You know, you've got to have to be in shape somewhat to win the fight, to fight in the fight.
Yep.
And those classes really, I thought, oh, I'm a gun guy. The gun's going to solve our problems. And then I realized my weaknesses were I have no knife game. I have no combatives hand-to-hand game. And I, for darn sure, am way out of shape. And I thought, no, okay, that's the uncool guy stuff. I didn't do the cool guy stuff. Nobody likes to sit in the gym and sweat their butt off and run on the Stairmaster or the you know, treadmill for an hour and a half. Nobody likes to put in that work, you know. But everybody wants to be, you know, tough guy.
Right. Well, so now that we've commented on the major failings of people not acknowledging what some of the actual issues are, the actual realities are, as much fun as it would be to berate people the entire show, which actually I want to do a show like that sometime, Jack. Make a note.
No.
Noted.
So as far as for folks that, okay, yeah, I need to go do some medical stuff. What do they need to be looking for? What do they need to be considering? I mean, do they need to be thinking just gunshot wounds? Do they need to be thinking, you know, traumatic amputations? What do they need to be considering here?
No, and I agree with you. Yeah, like you said, we don't know belittle anybody because there are plenty of people.
No, I want to belittle. I want to belittle people, you know? Just not the entire show, because that's probably wrong, and the advertiser just get upset.
But in their defense, there are plenty of, you know, your listeners and people listening to the show, but also in the industry, there are, you know, I would say professional students and trainees that, I mean, I'm getting students now that have taken two and three of my classes, different classes, which leads me back to the segue of your question just now about what type of training, but I mean, I'm having to come up with new classes because some of these guys and girls are out there taking the same class two and three times of mine, or they've taken some of my colleagues' classes, and they're like, okay, what's next? And I'm like, wow, that's new for 2015. That's a new problem for me as a instructor. I haven't had to come across in 6 years.
Yeah.
You know? So that's a good thing. So, you know, everybody else in defense is out there training and kicking butt. Yeah, you're doing good. Some of the training that you need to be thinking about, those, I want to, that's why we offer, I think, online, you know, close to a dozen different courses, and then offline, I think there's 37 different courses technically, because I want to make sure that the medical training that they're getting is applicable. What is it applicable to you, your daily activity or your mission or your environment? What is it? Is it getting up in the morning, going to the gym, driving to work, getting off work, driving to pick up kids at school, to taking them to soccer practice or whatnot, and then driving back home? Or is it, hey, I'm a guy and girl that's wearing click ears, kicking indoors of bad guys all day? You know, well, they're going to need two different types of medical training.
So the number one thing being really stop and look at what your situation is, look at what your lifestyle is, look at what your lifestyle can bear as far as commitment-wise and you know, making changes-wise, and then basing it off of that. We got about a minute and 20 seconds left in this segment.
Okay. I guess I missed your question. I'm sorry.
Well, I was saying, so that's the main thing as far as just identifying that mission?
Correct, yeah. Look at your daily activity. Like you said, it's what am I doing? You know, if you're driving to work, car wrecks. That's number two killer in America is blunt trauma. That you break that down from CDC's reports, and it's basically people getting car wrecks. Okay, so we need to look at, you know, blunt penetrating trauma, broken bones and stuff, crush injuries, stuff like that. So we're still bleeding, okay, like I said earlier. And then, if we're looking in the defensive realm of stuff, well, we're still trying to get data when civilians are injured in gunfights, stabbings and stuff, where are they injured in their body and what type of injuries? Gunshot wounds, stab wounds, baseball bats and clubs, what? Because it's going to be a little bit different how we treat some of those, a little bit different to some extent.
Okay.
But it does need to be applicable. That's the key word.
All right. We've got to go to break here. We are talking emergency medicine with Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics. And I'm going to take about 7 seconds to let you know that right now you're listening to a radio show called Ballistic Radio, and I hit my break right on time. Ha! Welcome back to Ballistic Radio. This segment brought to you by TacStrike Steel Target Systems. Makers of the quarter scale steel target and the arch frame target stand, which are literally the best steel targets and target stands I've ever used. Hit their steel targets with more than 60,000 rounds of rifle, pistol, and shotgun ammunition without a single problem. For more information, visit them at TacStrike.com. And also, Aridus Industries and the patent-pending QDC Quick Detach Side Saddle Shell Carrier. Available now for pre-order. Check out the new rigid interchangeable side saddle carrier, changing how you look at shotguns forever. Find out why Steve Fisher, Chris Fry, and myself all call it the best hard mount side saddle carrier ever invented. Would you like to know more? Visit AridusIndustries.com. Did you see how I just threw that fence up right there, Jack?
Mm-hmm. You managed a very well-known contact.
Thank you. Wow, that sounded special. Caleb, are you still there?
I'm still here, man.
All right. So, treating car accidents, we've got blunt force trauma. Talking about the sorts of engagements that civilians get into, especially if we're going to talk about self-aid, controlling extremity bleeds, you know, things like that.
Sure. Absolutely. It's, you know, if we're looking at, I mean, even people, if we're looking at some people stampeding, people getting stampeded.
Right.
When there's a large group of people inside a closed confined area and they're trying to get out.
Or who, concerts.
That was interesting. Yeah, concerts or, you know, the incident in Paris, for example, and people trying to get out. So, it's, you know, my brother was at a baseball game, and he said it was really kind of scary when the tornado came by. When people were trying to leave and get out of the stands, people were trampling each other. And just for a tornado to get to cover, he said that it was kind of spooky. So just, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff that you don't think about. But now that those are, you know, on one side of the spectrum. But again, make sure it's applicable. So if we're looking at bleeding out of the arms and legs, well, then we should start thinking about training to control the bleeding. Start looking at our, you know, everyday carry as, hey, maybe I should look at a soft T-wide or a cat tourniquet, you know.
So
start from there.
So pretty much what, if people are wanting to put together, I know we haven't really talked about the gear side of things as much as probably the listeners want. So it's the last segment of the show. We'll spend some time on it. Tourniquet, you know, pressure dressing, chest seal. Is that like the triumvirate of things to consider having on you?
Sure. You know, I'd say tourniquets, absolutely, because it's they're quick, easy, they work, they're easy to carry. You know, like I said, softy wire, the cap, those are the two I would stick with if we're going to get that specific on gear.
Sure.
Those are the two that I recommend. Those are two that the Committee of Tactical Combat Casualty Care recommends and approves. You know, there's all sorts of tourniquets on the market. Some have pros and cons. They all have pros and cons. But a pressure dressing of some sort, you could, you know, one kit that I'm a fan of, it actually has just a hemostatic. It has the quick clot combat gauze in it. And then the wrap itself is actually an ankle wrap kit. And the ankle wrap doubles as your pressure dressing, let alone the contents holster or holder wrap, if you will. And then a chest seal, specifically a chest seal that preferably has a one-way valve on it. That way it kind of self-bursts. So if the pressure builds up in that thoracic region or in your chest, that it can burp itself. You don't have to sit there and keep burping or feeling that chest seal back to let off the, let the pressure off,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't want to get into here if we on the show of second adjustments just yet. But, you know, tourniquet, some type of way to control hemorrhaging, control or bleeding. So, yeah, whether it's a pressure dressing of some sort or if it's a hemostatic agent, you know, Celox wrap is a good one. And then also that chest seal. There's all sorts of different brands, you know, makes, models, it becomes a Ford versus Chevy type of, you know, argument to some extent with some of the products. But those, that would be a great start for an EDC med kit. Absolutely.
Okay. Is there anyone that has put that all together in one easy to buy location? Would be my next question.
Sure. I'm a big fan of the Tactical Medical Solutions ankle med kit. And it's, you know, it's just like I said, it's just soft TY tourniquet. That's my favorite tourniquet. Pretty cool. It's, again, Ford Chevy. But the soft TY tourniquet, you've got your Russell chest seal, and it's got a one-way valve. It's got, and then you've got your quick clot combat gauze. And then the ankle wrap itself, the holster, if you will, that holds all that stuff together, is kind of an elastic felt type of wrap, is the way I can describe it. And that doubles as your pressure dressing. So for a very minimalist, it's something I can wear in a duty uniform. I've got, you know, law enforcement officers that wear it in their duty uniform. I wear, you know, jeans and a T-shirt, so I don't have to worry about cargo pockets, and I can still be the quote unquote gray man, you know, and I don't have to scream out wearing multi-cam or Molly everywhere, or cargo pants or you know, shooter's vest everywhere. But I can wear that on my ankle, you know, in a pair of slacks, a pair of khakis, blue jeans. Obviously, here in Texas, a lot of folks wear shorts. I don't.
one wants to see your legs, yeah. Caleb. I mean,
nobody wants to see those beasts. They haven't seen sunlight in quite some time. But you know, so you've got, that's a great one. As far as carrying as a part of EDC med kit, there's a lot of different kits out there in the market. A lot of good companies that make a lot of good equipment. And all their prefabricated kits, most of them, they still have like one or two items that I don't agree with, or hey, there's better content you could put in there, or the way that they designed it to carry it. There's so many, you know, pros and cons of each. But that was a TechMed solution that ankle med kit is the one I like and recommend.
Okay.
Clear Medical's got some stuff. ITS Tactical's got a kit. There's, you know, several other companies out there that have good quality pre-made kits.
Perfect.
Out there.
So when are you going to start doing your, like, 50-state tour so people can get training?
2016's looking pretty good. We're looking at being all over the place. Nashville, Ohio. Paul Lapuza again, hopefully.
Yep.
We'll be up in here coming up next year. We'll be, of course, hanging around, running around our heads cut off with SHOT Show.
Right.
And we'll be at a tactical conference with Rangemaster presenting there. just it's looking good. The 2016's filling up.
Perfect. Well, what else you got going on, man? We got a couple minutes left. Is there any projects you've got upcoming or things that this is where I like, you know, reward you for coming on the show and let you plug stuff.
Sure.
Let me drop the carrot right here. Go ahead. No.
Exactly. No, we, you know, like I said earlier, our new problem for me as a business owner / instructor is I'm getting students that have taken those classes multiple times, or they're bringing their friends, or they're taking the same class twice or two or three times, or they're different classes a couple times. So I said, okay, well, let's come up with a new class lineup for 2016. One of them would be our improv class, or we call it Pro Reynata. It's a medical term, short PRN. I mean, that's the situation demands. It's an improv medicine class.
Nice.
That one's going to be a one-day class, and the idea is it's not planning to improvise our medical equipment. That's just planning to fail. But what we're seeing with our students is after they take our classes or when during the scenarios, if they're carrying their EDC med kit or an IFAC on their plate gear, that's designed to treat literally one person. Well, if you're in a family of four in your car at a car wreck and all four people are hurt with different injuries, that one IFAC is not going to be enough. People are learning that just carrying a tourniquet, pressure dressing, and a chest seal, well, maybe not the chest seal in a car wreck you'll go through, but one pressure dressing or one hemostatic, you know, cause, and a tourniquet only cures two injuries,
right?
You know, maybe three if you start using a wrapper and really get crazy. So I said, okay, well, let's start improvising stuff then once you already have a foundation. So we've got an improv class that we're going to be doing where we throw people all sorts of crazy, more random the item, the better,
right?
And take away their tourniquets, take away their pressure dressings. We're working on a wound closure class where we talk about how to irrigate a wound. You know, if where it's irrigating the wound properly with irrigation techniques, where we talk about looking for signs and symptoms of infection, how to treat infection, how to prevent infection, where we also talk about how to close the wound up. So, okay, well, if we've already got antibiotics and we've already, like, hey, we've cleaned it out as best we can, but we need to make you know, whether we're using some kind of, you know, butterfly strips or, you know, suture strips or butterfly closures or even suturing, we'll cover a little bit of suturing in there. Finally, everybody wants to learn suturing because it's cool and, you know, sexy. Okay, fine. And then they're going to realize that, wow, I need to worry about more of a how to keep the wound clean than closing it up.
Right.
But it's still a good, you know, it'll be fun class. Our Medic 1 class, we're taking up and doing a Medic 2. So we're picking up where it's left off with a lot of different everything from, okay, really in-depth on different fractures and open and close, you know, broken bones. Going into a little bit deeper on the chest seals and stuff or what's going on with the body, really into the more anatomy and physiology of what's going on. We've got a new class we're kind of been testing and kind of guinea pigging with some students around the U.S. with a kind of a tactical medicine for EDC.
Perfect.
Where it sounds like, oh, that should be something new. Well, yeah, we just haven't publicized and put it out there. And then our school response program, we're finally going public with it.
Cool.
And that's been our biggest thing, actually, is the school response program, where we're teaching high school-age students and the faculty at schools, public and private schools. And we've been doing this for 3 years now, and we just haven't put it out there. We don't want to be the quote-unquote ambulance chasers, you know, but
right.
After these active cares,
I actually got to interrupt because we're at the end of the show, but if you want to find out more, visit them at LoneStarMedics.com. Caleb, I appreciate you coming on tonight, man, very much. So, you be safe, brother. So, make sure you check out our website, BallisticRadio.com, like our Facebook page at Facebook.com/BallisticRadio. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe and see you next week.